Years ago, when I started seeing clients, I realized that they were inadvertently, and I could understand why, making themselves slaves to other people because of two forces that were driving them. One was the need to have everybody like them. The second, and if you've said this, you understand, the second was, I don't like conflict. It would be better to say, I don't like the conflict I was raised with, and I'd like to learn a better way of resolving issues. So I decided that I needed to write a book. So I wrote Backbone Power, The Science of Saying No, which addresses, there's other variables, but the need to get people to like you and the avoidance of conflict can have you giving your power over and over and over. You will sing someone else's song. You will beat their drums. You will follow their dreams. And you need to take it back here. So after I wrote the book, as you know, then you have to get it up and out. So in the last year, I've been writing. I've been engaging with people. And what I've realized is there are different areas, different distinctions for having a backbone. There's backbone dating, backbone parenting. And for the purpose of this discussion, I'm going to talk about why you need a backbone in your spiritual life. Number one, and I'll give you a couple words so you can remember. This is the oxygen mask. You've heard it. You need to put it on first. Learn to love yourself first instead of loving the idea of someone loving you. First, here. And the second, I believe that when you get this taken care of, that we have to start seeing others who don't have a voice, whether it's the environment, children, domestic abuse, animals, and we have to give them a voice. So if you believe in something, and most of us believe in one of those or your own, and you don't live it, it's dishonest. So remember, oxygen mask, very important, and then elevator or extend your hand. Take care of yourself first. So many of us do it backwards. We serve everybody. We forget about us. So this is about you first, take care here, and then find people or something that you believe in and help them have a voice. So I've put some distinctions up here for what a spiritual life is. That's me. But we're blessed to live in a country where you can all have your own ideas. You're not going to be beheaded or killed because you believe what you believe. You can go home. One that's important to me is we are, therefore I am. It keeps us all connected. Don't always want to be connected to some of the things going on, but it keeps us connected. And it helps us, or me, develop a compassionate life force. We have to notice. And we have to start saying, as the light comes up, the dark comes up, we have to turn, face the dark, acknowledge the dark, and take a stand. And if we live where we live, we're particularly blessed that we have the freedom to believe what we believe. And we can all be in this room and have different beliefs. Spirituality, for me, again, is a personal relationship with a loving God. You don't have to have that. Operative word for me is loving. I'd like to think there's accountability for people who kill in the name of God. Maybe, maybe not. It's also a sacred relationship. Again, we live in a place where we can believe what we want to believe. That's a gift. Spirituality also for me is a mind-body-spirit connection. I heard so many stories of people in abusive relationships not speaking up, developing tumors in their throats. You can only lie to your body for so long, and then it starts to break down. There is a mind-body-spirit connection. I'd like to think that we can be loving and forgiving. Forgiving is tough. It doesn't mean the person gets a hall pass, got away with it, that it's okay. It means that you get the bad juju out of your body and put it back out there. Otherwise, the betrayal lives with you forever and ever and ever. JFK said, "Forgive your enemies and remember their names." We all know, betray me once, shame on you. Betray me twice, shame on me. So for me, forgiving requires a backbone, and it's an attribute of a strong mind. Think of the toughest thing you've ever had to forgive someone for, and you also have to forgive yourself in the process. So, remember the two reasons to have a backbone in your spiritual life. One is the oxygen mask and one is the elevator. Take care of yourself and give somebody else a voice. Now, these are my three tools for having a backbone. They're pretty simple, except if you can't do them. The ability to say no with dignity. And that is not, no, I can't do it because I'm sick or some story. You know what happens when you give a story? Somebody's going to decide whether your story is good enough or not, and it's none of their business. I'm in charge of what I can say yes to and what I can't say yes to. And the other thing most people do is you use illness to say no. You don't have to. You have the right to say, thank you for asking. I can't do that. Ask me again. Our leaders know that they need to say no. Saying yes is easy. Our entrepreneurs know. I did a teleseminar with a young group who were starting their businesses in their homes, and people were asking them to take care of their sick children. People were asking them to start their oven, get their groceries. And I said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. This is your special little thing. You have to protect it. You have to boundary it. You have to say no to distractions. So many good couples get together, but they can't keep the intruders out. It's imperative that you have a boundary and can protect what's precious to you. There's a great documentary. It's called Pray the Devil Back to Hell. And it's a group of women who were tired of their husbands killing and being at war. So they used two of my tools. They got big signs. They had no PR firms, no marketing, no money. They had their passion for what they wanted. They got big signs and they said, no more killing, no more war. And then my second tool is the ability to make a request. And the third thing on their sign was, we want peace. And they took their signs and they did sit-ins wherever their men were discussing their next war. And they became a pain and they stopped the wars. And they said, we'll go away, but we'll be back if you keep this up. That's very powerful. You know, if you can't say no to doing something in your day-to-day life, these women said no, a big time thing. It's very powerful to learn. It's also very powerful to learn to ask for what you need and what you want. Do not be afraid to rock the boat. If someone falls out, they weren't meant to be in your boat. Who wants all those people in your boat watching you row? Wouldn't you rather have one person who rows with you than 20 that are watching you? And my third tool, so ability to say no, ability to make a request. And my third tool is the ability to speak your truth. And this is the elevator, the hand. This is the whistleblower. This is having the courage to stand up and say, this is wrong. When one person does that, makes it easier for others. So for me, a great example, although all you have to do is open the newspaper, and there's a lot of examples, but for me, one of the greatest examples is the Penn State sex scandal. You can go online. This was Jerry Sandusky, who was sexually abusing young boys in broad daylight in front of everybody and got away with it forever and ever because of money and football. You can go online and you can read the transcripts of the grand jury. It's egregious. There was a 24-year-old journalist, Sarah Ganim, who won the Pulitzer Prize because she kept digging and digging. She had doors slammed in her face, but she unearthed this scandal with her newspaper and wrote about it. She gave a voice to these young men. And if you go and read it, you will see all the people who participated in the denial. If you cannot be the first person, be the second person who supports the first person, but don't be the person who says that's crazy. Don't be the person who rationalizes. As the light comes up and the dark comes up, we need to turn and face the dark and say it's there and it's wrong. And it's not across the world. It's right in our little worlds. You know, there's that great TV show here that's What Would You Do? And they put crazy situations and see who stands up. Some people automatically, what are you doing? And other people, that's not my business. See who you are. Think about, have you ever not said something and you wished you had? I obsess about that all the time. What's right? Timing? I don't think there's any perfect answer, but I do know that we have to think about it. We heard that great talk about the environment. Environment, animals, domestic abuse, children. They all need voices, and they need our voices. You know how it all comes together if you're taking care of yourself and you're doing what makes you feel really good. The juices all happen and the universe lines up with you, and it just flows. It feels great. Sometimes you gotta have a little backbone to get there. But when it's all right, it just feels great. On the other hand, if you kind of just don't take the stand, your life begins to end. Your soul starts to die. We can't be silent about things that matter to us. Think of all the people that you respect, and you hear this story, and somebody stood up and said, that's wrong, and just got so many people to follow. It's inspirational. We love reading about it with other people, and we can do it. Take a stand for yourself. Take a stand for others. Now, sometimes people say to me, but isn't that being difficult? Well, if you pride yourself on being so easy to get along with and you start to rock the boat, it's going to be feel different. But if you're rocking the boat for something that's important, it's a good different. I have put together people that I just saw in the last few weeks. This woman is taking a stand for the rape in the military by military to military, and these people are tried by the military, and that doesn't work. She is trying to get them to be tried by the justice system. She is giving voice to so many women, and I love her book because she says, and this is where the slave thing, she says, you're going to be a slave to the policies that happen in Washington if you don't stand up, get off the sidelines, and have a voice. This is a fascinating little story, little tiny book. This is the son of a horrible terrorist who was brainwashed, taught to hate, lived in America, lived in Egypt, lived back in America. And he says one of the people that influenced him was The Daily Show, Jon Stewart. He loved the way he attacked issues and stood up for people. And he wants people to know that no matter how much you're brainwashed, you can choose the opposite, which is what he has done. He has totally turned his back on his father, on the message, and he is inspiring people that you can do that as well. This is just a great title, Forgetting to Be Afraid. I wish we could all do that. I'm sure we all do at different times. And she's just a great example. It doesn't matter what you believe that these people believe. What they're doing is they are taking a stand for people who have a more difficult time taking a stand. So having a backbone, you can be a kind, loving, forgiving, effective, powerful person making a difference. And you can be devoted to service. This is not being a pain. This is being a complete human being. These are two of my favorites. Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and they don't matter. And those who matter don't mind, they want to hear from you. And the other is, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. We cannot be good people doing nothing. Thank you. Comments? Thoughts? Speak your truth. If people fall away, they weren't meant to be there. Yes.
Do you have any comment on the new law coming in California where a woman or a person has the right, if they don't say yes?
Yes. It's amazing. My understanding is that the short version is you can no longer rape a drunk person. People have been getting away with, she didn't say no. So the fact that someone is unconscious is not consent. And I believe this is a huge deal in colleges. And that is that's where it needs to be, and all colleges need to. And somebody fought for that. Yes. Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. The rape drug? Yeah. What do people care about? Do you ever feel overwhelmed that you can't do anything? I mean, do you... basically, when you grow up in a and this is not a female disease. Many men who have read my book said, you don't know me, but that book is me. When you grow up in a dysfunctional environment and all you're trying to do is stay alive, you will develop whatever you think you need to do, whether you can be the court jester or you act out, or you're the good person who says yes to everybody. I had a woman come in. Her daughter was going to have visitation with her father. They got divorced. And she said she has a horrible time with her father. And I said, well, can she ask him to take her to the park and do things that she likes? And she said, if she makes a request of her father, he will hit her. Now, she doesn't know how to make requests. She does not know that until she gets older and has never made a request because she kids intuit. If I say that, it's probably not going to work out too well for me. I had another young girl who, her long story, but she cut her wrist to get in the hospital, but she was trying to get her father help. Father was an alcoholic. And he would wake her up at 2 a.m. with submarine sandwiches, you know, those long sandwiches, to eat them. Apparently his wife didn't want to be woken up at 2 a.m. And I said to her, do you understand other 11-year-old girls are not getting up and eating submarine sandwiches with their dads? And she said, I never did, but I think you're right. Now, you grow up in that reality. It's your reality. What I'm saying is things are different now. You're out of it. If you haven't recreated it, it's safe. Try some different tools. And if you don't know that you don't know these tools, that's why I'm sharing them, keeping it really simple. Yes. Yes, but I'm not saying to walk around saying, I don't like your dress. I'm saying if you go to sleep and you ruminate on something and you didn't say it or you said yes where you meant no, then you're selling out on yourself. Yes, but then that's probably confidence as well. Yes, it's always, I mean, that's part of being an adult is the ability to be alone. Yeah, and when they get out of college and they try to get jobs, that's not going to work so well. See, I think if you have a healthy childhood and you encourage your children to have opinions and thoughts about things, I think you can build it from there. What I'm seeing is that so many people didn't have a healthy childhood and they develop these things, but they don't know they have them. And let me promise you, you won't be alone too long because people who speak their truth, they want to be around other people who speak their truth. It makes me nervous if people yes me to death because I don't know how they're feeling. I don't care if people disagree. I like to have that interaction because we're all going to get to a higher place. Yes. 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 Yeah. I spend a fair amount of time talking about timing in my book. So if we're all having a discussion about nutrition, yours will be very welcome. If I'm sitting there eating a big piece of your whatever it is, and you say, well, that stuff's terrible, I would listen to you, but someone else might not. I mean, I think you just have to see timing in that, you know. Exactly, exactly. Oprah says if you think something's wrong, it probably is, which is kind of a good guideline. But I don't know if you're talking about for yourself, I would definitely honor it. If you're talking about, I don't know if I want to get too close to this person, that's about you. You don't have to communicate that information to them. Do you have an example? Right. I did not see her, see him hit her or hear verbal abuse or coercion. I felt like right. There are several instances. The Utah woman who was kidnapped, somebody had an intuition and they acted on it and she was returned to her family. There's several examples where people report that. There was one woman, I think she went all the way home and came all the way back because she had an uneasy feeling at a gas station just like you. If you can, you know, I sense energy, so sometimes that's not a good energy there, you know. Go ahead. Right. So if we're going to make that step, Yes. Yes. Or one of the great things about the sex traffic that happens on the West Coast from Washington all the way down is they put these little cards in the ladies' room that say, if you're being kidnapped beyond or held against your will, take this and give it to the cash register. If you get a license plate and you take it, I mean, you can do things in the background where you don't have to. I understand that. Nobody wants to. But you can do things in the background that raise people's awareness, and then all those things fall into place. What I said to my kids over and over again, I said, you may experiment, but here's the deal. I don't come to jails late at night. I am not paying any fines. If there's a fine for me, you pay that one too. You can do any of that when you're 21. If you drive, you'll never see a car. Here are the rules of the house. I don't know what we had then, but they apply to all of them. I don't care if it comes in a brownie, a bottle, a this, a that. In our house, here's the way it's going to be. Here are the rules. I remember having this too. I had an older boy staying with my boy, and they were working at my house for the summer. I said, here are the rules. Don't call me if you land in jail. I don't do that. You'll pay your lawyer's fees. You'll pay blah, 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 blah. I called the boy's father to tell him this is what I told them. Oh, they won't have time to drink, he said to me. I said, okay. My kids could recite those rules to me because I told them over and over and over. It's your job to let them know how this house is run and the consequences. And I'm telling you, my son made one mistake. He walked into the lawyer's office and he said, oh, you don't know my mom, but you got me for the payment, so you'll be on payment plans. And we never had a problem. I mean, everybody has to make a mistake, probably, but they knew the rules. They knew my house. They knew what the deal was. So it was clear. You test that stuff out, you get the consequences, not me. And I mean, and I'm sure you've done this, you're individuals, you know, whatever you need, I'll help you with the peer pressure, but don't you ever put anything in your mouth for some other person. That comes with confidence, I think, a lot on that. Yes? Yes, and lots of kids love that. Our time is up. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.